Welcome back to another episode of the Checkers of Records podcast with Dega Davey in the Nose. This week, Richmond, Snooze Fest, all four races. Got to break it down. Talking about Infinger, Ross Chastain, Big Bitch Allgaier, no cautions, nothing. Disappointed, not surprised going into the cup race. Reviewing our picks, driving topics. Are we crowning Thor Sport the new champion of the truck series already? What happened to Briscoe? Is he choking? Same tire as Phoenix for Richmond. Are they going to change it? Will Jimmy win an IndyCar race? And then a little bit of on Haley Deegan and what's going on with her. Playoff talk and then the big silly season news that we are going to be covering. Bubba, Suarez, who's going where, Denny's secret team, Bob Germain, Larson Top Dog and Hendrick, Bristol preview, Bristol picks, and then a new segment, the NASCAR Cuck Series Driver of the Week presented by himself, Dickie Handlin, and his little fantasy team. Hammer down, baby. Dale Jr. and Hank Williams Jr., take it away.
You put it all on the line. It's Checkers or Records.
Lord, I guess I went and broke their family tradition. They get on me, want to know, Hank, why do you drink? Hank, why do you roll smoke? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, everybody made my prediction. So if I get stoned, I'm just carrying on an old family tradition.
Jesus Christ. That race was boring. I felt like I was watching New Hampshire after they put the restrictor plates on with no cautions. Jeff Burton led the first lap. He led the last lap. He never gave up the leader position. So I just don't know why it was so bad. And I really don't know why they call it the excitement track at this point. It doesn't do it for me. Like Richmond, we joke about it being one of our favorite tracks, one of your favorite tracks, just like New Hampshire, but all three races were just snooze fest to me. I passed out on all of them. I had to go rewatch the highlights and go rewatch the races as a whole just to understand what's going on. But Dega Davey, do you have any sort of different hot take on that? Were you so intrigued on that? Were your dick hard by Richmond or what?
Look, one thing I did make my dick hard was the length of the truck and the Xfinity races. They were pretty short races, man. You're right. We didn't see any, big crashes. But look. Are we surprised? No, of course not. This is Richmond, racing at Richmond here. This is exactly what we expected. So anyone that can has been watching NASCAR or has watched previous races, it's the way it is, man. It's just, you got to go there, get it knocked out. It's like every time I go to Pocono, it's like, God damn it. All right, let's get it over with. Because now we have Bristol. Yeah.
That's how I feel about Auto Club, honestly, when I'm not racing on NASCAR. But race breakdown, going into the trucks first. Infinger really surprised me. I felt like he came out of nowhere because Ben Rhodes led, 66 laps? But other than Johnny Sauter, who could not keep the F-bomb out of his mouth for 20 seconds at a time, Thor Sport was basically running that shit. But any notable finishes for that race?
So, as you mentioned, Infinger coming back out of nowhere. We have not seen him at all since the beginning of the season. Came out and won. My pick, Matt Crafton, got second. Good day for him. Ben Rhodes got third. Your pick, Brett Moffitt. Again, not a win, but he's running up there. Fourth place. And then Tyler Ankrum, fifth. It's notable for him because he is, not guaranteed into the playoffs, or wasn't at least. He had a good finish. He might be somebody to watch for in the playoffs. And then the handsome Zane Smith, 11th place. You had him as a pick. And then stay in your fucking motorhome, Todd Gilliland. I don't know why the hell I picked him. I feel like Kyle Busch right now. I don't know why I signed him, but he got 17th.
Yeah, so that race was kind of eh. But Derek Kraus was in the playoff hunt. They just stopped showing who's in, who's out, because he went three laps down. Just horrible. He pitted at the end of stage one towards it. And then he was just on old tires for the rest of the stage two. So they were just lapping him. But going on to the Xfinity race, we learned this was our first time seeing the helmet cam this season because of COVID. And Ross cannot hold a steady wheel worth shit, especially at Richmond. He just couldn't stand the yellow line for whatever reason. He was like a repellent to it. Just because, and we saw it in the end car, and I just kept on saying, dude, just keep it there. But he's coming spinning out. He was behind Jeb Burton, of all people. But hey, it was a good race. I mean, my pick, Allgaier whooped that ass. Notable finishes, JP.
For Xfinity One, we got Allgaier getting the win there. Justin Haley, I love me some Colic. He got second place. Kyle fucking Busch only got third. Blame the tires on that one. Love to hear it wasn't his fault. I was glad to hear that. Austin Cindric, fourth place. That's about as good as it gets for him past few races. Ross Chastain, another college guy, fifth. I also had him. Noah Gragson, eighth. Good showing for him. Chase Briscoe, I had him picked, 11th place. And then Brennan Jones running out the big names in 14th. Noah, you had him.
All right, going on to the Cup Series, I basically have written down, like I said in the intro, no cautions, snooze fest, disappointed, not surprised. I don't know. We don't need to say any more about it. Notable finishes.
Out of the stall, Brad Keselowski got the win. Kind of a shitty celebration. We'll get to that in a minute. Martin Truex, I had him picked. He got second. Joey Logano, the rat fuck Joey Logano, who's balding, by the way. Third place, Austin fucking Dillon. Fourth place. I don't know where the hell he came from, but he's... Damn it, he's there. Your boy Chase Elliott, fifth. And then Kyle Busch, I had him picked, showed up sixth. Mind you, had a suspended crew chief, so that was a good finish for him. You had Alex Bowman, he had ninth. Dickie Handlin, a guy who we all figured to be guaranteed in the round of four, only got 12th. And then your guy, Matt DiBenedetto, 17th. And then to round it all out, Ryan Blaney only getting 19th. Both of these guys, awful. Matt DiBenedetto and Ryan Blaney, awful days.
DiBenedetto's supposed to be a short track guy. He really didn't show it at Richmond this past race. Ryan Blaney's worst track in the schedule is Richmond Raceway. So I wasn't surprised to see him outside of top 15. But into the review of the picks so we can get on to the driving topics. I had Zane and Moffitt. Zane finished 11th, and then Moffitt finished 4th. Who did you have for trucks?
Had Crafton in 2nd. And Todd Gillen, 17th. Do the math on that. Overall winner goes to you. Boo.
Boo. All right. Xfinity, I obviously won. Yeah. I had Allgaier. Allgaier finished first two times in a row, kind of like the way that you had Harvick winning twice a couple weeks ago in Michigan. So, JP, who did you have for that?
For Xfinity, I had Chastain. He got a fifth and a third. And I also had Chase Briscoe for some stupid reason. He got 11th and 16th. Come on, dude. You're supposed to be a fucking championship contender. What are you doing?
I had Daddy's Money, Brennan Jones, as my second pick. He finished 14th and 8th, so it wasn't that impressive. And then going on to the Cup Series, I had DiBenedetto, like you said, 17th, Bowman 9th, and you had?
Truex 2nd, and Kyle Busch in 6th. Boo.
Yeesh. Well, that's another... Two wins, I win the series again. I would like to thank my sponsors, Fuck You and JP. And I would also like to thank my mother for always listening and thank my dad for always telling me I need to stop cussing this podcast. Thanks, Dad. There's an explicit warning here for a reason. Okay, JP, on the poll for driving topics, what's the first one?
Should we go ahead and crown Thor Motorsport as the champion, more specifically, Grant Enfinger, not looking at Johnny Sauter. From there, Briscoe, what's going on with him? Even then, throw Austin Cindric's hat into that ring as well. Allgaier, he's still a bitch, but damn it, he's winning some races. And then same tire at Phoenix that we had here in Richmond. Does NASCAR need to look into using a different tire for Phoenix? More specifically, Phoenix being the championship race. And then, well, Jimmy, we didn't really cover this last week because we found the news out after we recorded. But will Jimmy Johnson win an IndyCar race now that he's signed on with Chip Ganassi for a couple years?
All right, well, let's go over the first one because JP has the intention of fucking me over by throwing all of the topics at me at the same time, which is fine. Shotgun, glory hole, Bukkake style. Should we go ahead and crown Thor Sport the owner championship? I think fuck no. I'm not a big fan of like four car truck series teams. I'm a big fan of like Timmy Hill and his fucking grandma working on the car behind the house, like just drinking beer. I'm not a big fan of the truck series being like this breeding ground for the bigger teams. And I know Thor Sport is in Ohio and they travel a lot, but I'm just not a big fan of Thor Sport. So I don't know. I just can't crown him owner championship like that, because other than Sauter and really Ben Rhodes as of recent, nothing else has really come out of them. Because Crafton, yeah, he broke his 3-year dry spell, but just because he got one fucking nut off does not mean he's going to win the championship, nor does it translate for the rest of the team. Because look at Johnny Sauter, not even in the playoffs, and just because he's just so bad. So the owner championship, that ain't going to Thor Sport. But, I mean, do you have an opinion on this? Do you even give a fuck about Thor Sport?
I can tell you it will not be going to them. Anyone with a fucking brain can tell you it's going to be GMS. Anyone can tell you that. They are kicking ass right now. If they get one win, all of their cars are firing on all cylinders, man. These guys, they show up and they fucking race. Zane Smith's doing great, as is Brett Moffitt. They're doing phenomenal. So, who is it? Tyler Ankrum? Is that the other the GMS guy? These guys, they're doing great. So, no, it's not Thor Motorsport. They're not getting jack shit.
I think that Chevy is really running the truck series right now with the Silverado. As much as the Toyotas have speed, they're just not winning races unless Kyle Busch is behind the wheel. I mean, Stuart Friesen switched over to him and his team switched over. But Austin Hill has some speed at a Tory, but overall, Chevy Silverado has been dominating, especially with Nice Motorsports and then also with GMS. I mean, GMS has some dudes over there. So I agree with you. But in terms of Xfinity, running for the title, Briscoe said he needed 7 or 8 races to get a shot at the Cup Series next year. He's won 6, and he's really dropped off in the past few races. In terms of, I mean, he was leading at Darlington. It's just bad luck coming his way. Yep. He was leading at Darlington, and then he just spins in the oil. And Allgaier, as much as I think he's still a bitch, he's moving up. So do you have an answer for why Briscoe is choking right now?
Look, I don't think Briscoe's choking. I think Cindric is choking right now. You just mentioned it. Briscoe is leading at Darlington, and I think he would have had I'm not saying he would have won the race, but I'm saying he would have a very fair shot at it, maybe a second or third. Now, Austin Cindric, on the other hand, hasn't been up front, period, at all. And fourth was his best showing the past few races. That's really all he has to hang his hat on. So Briscoe's only 1 or 2 races out from getting the alleged wins that he needs to have tallied up to go on to the Cup Series. So, and he could very well, he could easily do that at Phoenix. He could get his 7th or 8th final win with the championship. So that would be one hell of a way to go out. Now, to me, it's been Allgaier. Allgaier is the big shift that we see in this series right now. He came out of nowhere after Dover a few weeks back, and he has come back with a vengeance and has been dominating out of nowhere. Who the hell had Allgaier on the radar a few weeks back?
Me.
I mean, you did. You did. And you called it. you called that race. You said you picked Allgaier for Dover. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? What do you mean you picked Allgaier? Like, the fuck? This guy's had the worst bad luck ever. Dude has 3 wins now. It's unbelievable. So he's right there with not quite there with Cindric or Briscoe, but he's literally halfway there in the past 3 weeks. I don't know.
Did you know Allgaier is only like 6 months younger than Kyle Busch?
I did not. I knew he's old. Yeah. I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah, I mean, he's not moving up the Cup Series anytime soon. He kind of sucked in his H. Scott Motorsports car before that team shut down. But I know you mentioned something earlier when you were spitting out all the topics at me, and I glued myself to the wall. about the tire.
It was an overview.
What were you asking me? All right, asshole. Yeah. What? Tell me the question, because the listeners want to know the answer. Right. What was your fucking question?
My question was, I'm going to ask you right now, Noah. Did you like the tires that NASCAR and Goodyear used at Richmond? On that note, more specifically, this being the same tire that we're going to see in Phoenix.
Okay. Aside from the condescending attitude towards me, I'll go ahead and answer the fucking question.
Thank you.
You know, my feelings a little hurt, but it's okay. It's okay. On paper, I really, really liked the tire. The tire was the talk of the town with all the fans on Twitter, radio, anywhere you go outside and they're screaming at the top of their lungs about the damn tires. All they fucking want is, I want fall off so we can have tire strategy. Well, there was almost too much tire fall off because there was way too much because there was too much rubber being laid down on the track. So there was no real passing. Everybody was just kind of collecting the dirty shit and just kind of moving around and sliding around. And it was almost like the way whenever people drive in really heavy rain, they just won't go any faster. So nobody's passing anybody. They're just sitting there with the hazards on. So I think that NASCAR and Goodyear need to take a look at the tire before they head out to Phoenix, because this is the same tire that goes to the championship race. I think they need to take a good look at it and say, do we really want that? Because as much as they say, oh, but Phoenix will be different, that's championship four. This is the playoffs still. This is not Richmond during like March. This is Richmond during the playoffs. People are fighting and battling out for spots, and there was really no action on the track other than Bubba accidentally running up into Jimmy and the Jimmy retaliating, and nobody even caught that on camera because it happened in the blink of an eye, and Jimmy called it a racing incident after the race. So I just don't see them keeping the same exact tire going to Phoenix. Do you see them changing it all?
I think it went completely over your head. Look at the two tracks. Phoenix is not as nearly as abrasive as Richmond is. Now, maybe that tire they used wasn't that great for a track that fucking abrasive. However, with that being said, I loved it, man. I fucking loved it. I love seeing the different strategies. I love seeing some cars come one lap, two laps early, and it giving them a 3 or 4 second advantage, which is like, what the fuck? And not only that, those guys were pushing hard. You had guys who were slipping and sliding because they were hitting the gas too damn hard. I mean, they couldn't go any faster. For them to go any faster, they'd be spinning in circles. So I love the tire choice, and that to me is what made the race entertaining. The best part of watching the Richmond race was the last like 70 laps where you're sitting there watching who's coming first, who's going to come to pit road first, who's going to milk their tires, who's going to get out there just to get out front as fast as they can and come early, who's going to do what. So, and who's going to get through the lap traffic the best. So the tires, to me, that's what made the Richmond race. If you would have had no tire fall off, oh my God, I would have shot my brains out watching that race. It would have been fucking awful. But I love the tire choice. And knowing that Phoenix won't be as abrasive, I think it'll be just right.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the fact that Phoenix is not going to be as abrasive. But it was getting to be a snooze fest at some time. And it was just as painful as watching, you know, our football team, Florida State Seminoles, lose to Georgia Tech in the middle of the pandemic. That – fuck it, this is not the Florida State podcast, but good God, guys, get it together. We missed something last week because we decided we were going to record on a Tuesday, and all the news started coming out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, as if it was a fucking pinata, and all the fucking candy was dropping out. So Jimmy Johnson decided he was going to sign a 2-year option deal with Chip Ganassi Racing to drive their IndyCar on their road and street courses, contingent on sponsorship, which, if IndyCar is smart at all, they'll throw all their money at him, because I will personally be watching all the races. Every single IndyCar, I might even go to a fucking few of the races. I don't even care. But do you think, with all this hype, Jacob Davey, do you think that Jimmy's going to win a race? I mean, he has, I think it's like 13 or 14 each year. So that's 26 to 28 chances he wins on a road course. So do you think, and his most recent closest win at a road course was the Roval when he decided to back into Truex a couple years ago. So do you think he's going to win an IndyCar race, or are we just way reaching for that?
Not at all. He's not. No, of course not. Anyone who thinks he's legit gonna win, I mean, look, I love Jimmy more than anybody. I love Jimmy Johnson, but God, get the fuck out of here. That's like, look, guys, I go to school at University of West Florida. They just started a football team 4 years ago, 5 years ago. That's like saying, oh yeah, man, they're gonna be competing for a national championship in Division I football after a few years. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, come on, man. Like, this is not the way it works. He can't even win, and he can't win in the series that he's good at and the cars that he's good at and used to. What the hell makes you think you're going to put him in an Indy car that he hasn't driven until what, this past year or two, and he's going to go out there and get a win?
He's only done tests. So do you think he's like the Tim Tebow to baseball as Jimmy Johnson is to IndyCar?
That's a fantastic analogy. Yes, that's what's going to be, if not worse, because these cars are so different.
It's, the way it was explained to me whenever I was kind of debating with people, it's like these IndyCar dudes have been driving these IndyCar-like open-wheel cars since they were the age of fucking four. Jimmy has been in everything but open-wheel for the most part since the age of four. So now he's going to go hop into the test. Granted, I think he won't be dead last, but do I think he's going to win some of these races? No. He says he's not going to run the Indy 500. I guarantee his sponsors, they're going to say, well, Jimmy, if we're sponsoring you, you need to run the 500. And then he's going to run one of the 500s, probably his last year. I'm concerned for his safety, honestly. Those things are, I call them death traps. Some people will say that that's an overreach, but I think that those things are still fucking dangerous. Even though they have the halo, way more dangerous than a NASCAR. I'm surprised, you know, I don't like being personal about it, but I'm surprised his wife okayed it. You know, because I know she's pretty protective of it, as any wife would be. I'd be concerned for him. I'm concerned for him as a fan. So but to answer the question that I asked you, I think he has a chance to win one. But do I think he actually will? I will be very surprised if he wins one. I will.
Agreed. Yeah. You nailed it on the head. He's only been testing for a little bit, and he's going up against guys who have been doing it for their whole fucking lives at tracks that they've already ran before. You got to think, this motherfucker, every time he goes to the next track, it's the first time he's going to be running it. These guys, like, all right, let's do it again. So I don't see it. Realistically, I don't see it.
I have a quick fire question for you real quick. We cut in the initial one, but I'm thinking I want to ask this. Do you think Haley Deegan and her dad are kind of shooting themselves in the fucking foot right now with all the shit they're doing outside of the track, and combined with the fact that Haley's running like mid-pack in a pack of 12?
Absolutely. Right now, if you're Haley Deegan, just do your results. Do what you need to do for your sponsors, and that's it. And if you're Brian Deegan, you're a fucking washed up freestyle motocross rider before it got big. All right, sit the fuck back and let your kids do their thing, because you are going to ruin everything. Doesn't matter if you agree or disagree, just sit the fuck back and let your kids do what they need to do. And if you're Haley Deegan, keep your damn nose clean. Look at your fucking results. Keep your nose clean. Don't be dicking that up too.
And if you missed any of the news, Haley Deegan, all right, her dad is like putting out there really bad COVID advice, and then she's like retweeting it, basically saying, I agree with all of this. Secondly, she showed up to a national interview like 19, 20 minutes late and did it from like her bed laying down, just chilling, and everybody's kind of mad about that. I don't know if I blame her for that. The thing that kind of made me mad was that she parked her car at LAX for, I guess, 2 weeks, and then she goes on Instagram story and is complaining about the fact that there's ash on there when there's like people's houses being like burned down, people are losing their stuff, people are dying, and she's complaining about a little bit of ash like everybody else out there in California. So it's just a bad look. But going forward, we got to talk about playoffs. And, you know, the first thing I got to say, you know, everybody says KFB, AFD, JP, I never thought we'd say this, but we are talking about Austin Dillon running the shit in round one of the playoffs. So you got any reaction to that shit? Are we living in a fucking simulation?
Look, these past 2 weeks don't count. They didn't happen.
Why?
No, no, fuck you. Fuck you. I am not going to tuck in my fucking tail and say, Austin Dillon's got it, baby. He's going to do... No, fuck you. And fuck anyone out there that thinks that Austin Dillon is here to stay and he means business. Get the fuck out of here. He had, as Dale Jr. put it, he had two good races. All right? Let's not get ahead of ourselves. I want to see Bristol. I want to see what he does at Bristol. Because he can dick it all up.
I don't know how. He's sitting 36 above the cut line. He's sitting sixth in points right now.
Look, I'm telling you, man, I'm not sold yet. I'm not sold yet.
Are you at least surprised?
Well, yeah, I'm like pissed off, kind of surprised. My God damn it, this motherfucker. Like, why can't he be bad and Blaney and DiBenedetto do good? I don't want to see that fucking Silver Spoon cuck up there. Fuck him.
Obviously, I'm the same with you. I don't want to see Austin Dillon be good because it goes against everything I've told him when he passes by at Talladega in the back of the truck during driver intros. And a little story.
Yeah, he flipped me off last time. We were there.
Remember what we said last time to him? Well, you know, we were screaming, you don't deserve to be in that car, you undeserving fuck. And then he flipped us off.
To the three car.
That was really funny. You know, we got to share more Talladega stories on here when we get time. But I'm really surprised with Austin. I'm happy for him in a way, but because I like seeing the legacy teams do well. I would rather it be Tyler Reddick, like running the shit over there, but whatever. It's nice to see the three doing well, but I just wish that Austin Dillon wasn't driving it. So it just kind of fucking feels like a buzzkill. You're like, oh, cool, the three's running up front. And you're like, oh, it's Austin Dillon. But. But speaking of playoff the cutoff line, who's getting left out at Bristol? I mean, we have some notable names in there. Ryan Blaney dead last, -27 below the cut. Matt D, 25 below. Cole Custer, -8. William Byron, -3. This is a cutoff race. NRA Bass Pro Shops night race at Bristol. JP, who's getting left behind in your book?
This is going to kill me to say this. I think Custer, leave him out. That's a given. Byron, I'm not sold on yet. I really don't know if he's going to be in or out at this point. He's kind of the one that's iffy about. But the two guys that I think are definitely going to be staying where they're at, which kills me, is Blaney and DiBenedetto. These guys are so deep in this hole, and they're going to be almost in a must-win situation. Go, what you do not want to be in at Bristol. Now, I mentioned this last week, in our last episode, that Bristol is not necessarily a wild card like a Talladega or Daytona, but it's not a given. That is the furthest thing from a given. So I don't know. Dibby's had some bad luck the past couple races. And Blaney, I mean, he hasn't won any races. So he's had some good finishes, but he's going to need more than a good finish to lock himself in.
So I'm going to say something to you. Kyle Busch is going to be out. I think he's going to wreck it this race. Something's going to happen. I also think that Matt DiBenedetto and Ryan Blaney are not going to points their way in. One of those people, they either have to win or obviously they're leaving. I would say that DiBenedetto has a better chance of that. So I think that Blaney's going to be behind. Custer, he ain't doing shit at Bristol. And I think that Kurt and Kyle are going to be out. I think it's going to be some sort of wreck that takes out Kyle. And I think Kurt's just going to – something always happens with those Ganassi cars. So I don't know what it is. Like, what – fuck it. I just don't think that the Busch brothers are going to get in. But mark my words, when we go back, it's going to be Blaney sitting outside, Cole, and then two Busch brothers. But speaking about – Chip Ganassi, we have the literally, like I said, fucking Wednesday, as soon as I posted it, get a message talking about Jimmy's going to IndyCar. I'm like, all right, I had heard that on the Dale Jr. download, but now it's finalized. Get shot across the room. Fuck you, yes. Next day, the biggest announcement, basically in motorsports, like LeBron James leaving the Cavaliers. Dega Davey sent me a text saying, no, in all caps, and I was like, there's no race going on. Who wrecked? And I clicked on it and my heart sank. Bubba Wallace informed RPM Thursday morning or it was reported that he was, that he, that's when he did it, whatever, not returning to RPM. He did not say where he was going next. We have not heard it as of Monday night. The rumors are Hendrick. I mean, the open seats are Hendrick, SHR, Chip Ganassi, and then this random Toyota, Denny Hamlin shit in the background. So it's just kind of like, what the fuck? But they were interviewing people, and Hendrick said there's no offer. And Chip Ganassi said he rescinded the offer whenever Bubba didn't respond in time. So we don't really know where he's going, but if he's already left RPM, he's probably already signed to a new team, but it's just a matter of where. And going on to the next bit of news, Bob Germain has decided he's going to sell the team officially. Early indicators are it's going to be Denny Hamlin and the Toyota little secret team they're trying to form, bidding on it. Floyd Mayweather's TMT Racing, which said they were going to start this year, but they didn't, as well as an unconfirmed other team. And then also Daniel Suarez is not returning to Gaunt Brothers Racing. So, and there's a lot. And then also related, Andrew Murstein, guy who's head at RPM, financial guy, he said that his candidates include Haley Deegan and Kyle Larson to replace Bubba Wallace in the 4-3, which he's fucking high if he thinks it's going to happen. But JP, do you have any reaction to Bubba leaving the first one?
Of course I do, man. I was so heartbroken when I saw that. And I posted earlier on our Instagram account. And that was, you know, NASCAR report. Bubba has $15 to $20 million of sponsorship that he's going to bring to wherever he goes. So if you're a Bubba fan, you're going, all right, cool. He's going to have a lot of money to have a good car. Bad news is, where is he taking that money away from? And that's RPM. This is a team that gave him so much freedom. They bought into him, invested into him, and I've stuck by his side way more than any other team I think ever would have. And he's been the model of the 43 car. You know, we talked about it several episodes ago that that's his car. And now it's not going to be anymore. It's like, God damn it, dude. That's 43 was supposed to be your car. That was going to be your legacy. And I think they would have had plenty of money to make the car competitive. Maybe not this season, but next season that car could be, you know, maybe like Chip Ganassi style equipment where it's, you know, it's good here and there. But it's, I don't know, more than anything kind of pissed me off.
I'm skeptical about what's going on with Bubba Wallace because I thought as soon as he left, they were going to announce that he signed somewhere else. And if it's not with Hendrick, I think he's making a big mistake. I don't even know if there's even a real offer from him. You know, they can deny all they want, but I think they're taking a good hard look at everybody. So if he's not with Hendrick, I'm be kind of mad. Because I don't trust new teams like that. There has not been a team that has come into NASCAR in like their first year lit the world on fire, even within their first 3 years. Even if it's an affiliation team with JGR, Furniture Row Racing took, I think, 2.5 years to get where they were going, and they had Martin Truex Jr. I don't know if Bubba Wallace is the caliber of Martin Truex Jr. just yet. He has not been around long enough. I think that Bubba is a proven winner in the Truck Series. He's almost won in the Xfinity Series. He's finished very well in the Cup Series and lackluster equipment. But in terms of the sponsorship, none of it matters how much you're bringing if you're not bringing to the right people. Like, you could bring $15 to $20 million to, say, Spire Motorsports, and they're just going to fucking blow it, I think. It's going to be one of those things where you cannot give, like, a homeless person $1 million. You have to teach a homeless person how to, you know, how to assimilate back into life. You can't just throw them in the deep end and say, here's a bunch of money, because most of the time they go broke. It's like the lottery. It's like people win the lottery and they fucking just tank. But I don't know how I feel about Bubba. I want some security knowing where one of my favorite drivers is going, but I really liked seeing him in the 43. But the thing about him leaving, I'm less mad about him leaving now that I heard this. I did not know. A fun fact is that Richard Petty himself left the family team, the Petty Enterprises team, for I think 2 years. went to Curb Racing, took the 43. Now, he actually won his last race ever, his 200th win with Ronald Reagan in the stands, Firecracker 400, I think 1985 or 84, I think it was. And he won with Curb Racing. It wasn't with Petty Enterprises. So if Richard Petty himself can leave the family team, Bubba has the right to leave him. I just don't know if it's the right idea. But what do you think about Suarez leaving GBR? I thought he was going to resign, honestly.
I'm excited because, honestly, I would rather see a guy that I like and I'm pulling for, I would rather see him in a good Xfinity car than a piece of shit cup car. So with Suarez, I'm not saying he's going to Xfinity, but what I am saying is that if he's not in Gaunt Brothers, maybe the door is open for him to go to a better team. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say Suarez with the 48. Like, get the fuck out of here.
That won't happen.
No, of course not. But I think the opportunity is there for not Stuart Haas, but maybe Chip Ganassi. I think the opportunity is there. I don't know if it's going to happen or will happen. Spire, I don't know. If Denny Hamlin starts a team, maybe Suarez, old teammate, who knows. But in all realism, he might go to 32 car at GoFast. And those guys on the bottom tier, they usually switch around a lot. Maybe Spire Motorsports, if they can get, if they can get their shit together. I just want to see him in a competitive car. I think he's done fantastic for the lower tier cars. I know he didn't perform that well in the equipment that he was in before at Stuart Haas and JGR, but I think he's more than matured this season with what he has. So maybe give him another chance. At least give him a 2-year deal if he does go maybe a middle of the pack team. I wouldn't mind seeing that. So he could go to the new Germain race. Whoever gets Germain, I don't know. So to me, I'm excited.
I just don't like. All right. So with Stuart Haas, so with Suarez at JGR, he was a rookie. He wasn't ready for that position. He just won the championship. He's supposed to be in the Xfinity Series for another year. Kind of threw him up there, and then he had sponsorship problems for a little bit because some controversy with Subway, dropping on the sport, all that kind of crap. He's getting distracted. 41 car at SHR really hasn't been that productive. Kurt Busch was okay in it, but everybody else is just the 4 car is really just, you know, wrecking the field with them, just mopping the floor. You know, he's a whole janitor system right there. And then the 10 is the model consistency. Then it goes to the 14, then it goes to the 41. So the 41 really, I don't think that there's not a lot of focus there. It's almost like the runt child of the bunch. But going, before we talk about who's going where, should we take this Danny Toyota secret team seriously? Like, do we actually think, like I was just going on a rant there about how I don't believe in new teams, but do you take this whole thing seriously, or do you think it's just all, you know, hosh-posh bullshit?
I think it's all bullshit, to be honest with you. I don't. It's we're always going to have rumors in this sport, and maybe in a couple of years I might take it more seriously. He's going to retire in a couple of years, but I don't see it happening right now. I don't see a championship contending driver wanting to have his own team. I don't understand how you're going to drive for a top tier team and then have your own team on the side in the same series. Like, I don't fucking get that. What?
3 letters. DEI.
So
Dale Earnhardt did it.
Look, I don't really, it's just weird to me. It's weird. But,
He's too young for it. Cause Dale Earnhardt did it when he was like approaching, he's 48 when he started up DEI. Full-time cup team 2000, I think 1999, 2000. So, and Dale was always talking about sponsorship. So he was reaching like the twilight of his career. I mean, he hadn't won. I mean, he won at Talladega in 2000, but Denny Hamlin, I guess I just don't see it yet. I know he's a good business guy outside of racing. He's got a lot of partners, but I'm just curious to see what happens with that. So I don't take it seriously.
The other note too is how somebody, I'm not saying you have to own a trucks, then Xfinity, then Cup, but it just seems weird to me that out of the blue, we're talking about Denny Hamlin starting his own Cup team. Like, why not do like Kyle Busch and have a truck series team, have a few trucks at the lower level, or go in Xfinity and do an alliance with the JGR or something, the team you already signed with. I don't know. It's just weird.
Look, Harvick would be a good team owner because he's already proven it at truck level and Xfinity level. I think Kyle Busch would actually be a pretty good Cup owner when it comes down to it. So it just comes down to whenever he retires. But I think KBM is going to go Cup racing eventually. Speaking about more silly season news, one of our last topics before we go to who goes where. There's a lot of rumors out there, and I know we talk about rumors a lot, but there are some like serious rumors about. So obviously, Merstein was talking about diversity drivers he wants in the 43. So Suarez and Deegan and Larson. But Larson is apparently one of the top dogs going for the Hendrick 48. Do you think that's deserving? Because
could you imagine the slap in the face to have a Black Lives Matter car and then like 6 months later you sign the guy that dropped the N-word like it was nothing in an iRacer? Like, could you imagine that? Like, what the fuck? Like, Merstein, what? And I asked them, and the comment obviously didn't go anywhere. I said, what are you smoking? Like, dude, like, get this man a drug test because he must be high. He's got to be high as a freaking kite.
But Larson at Hendrick, Larson is the leading contender for Hendrick.
No, Larson should not be in the sport for at least another year. Absolutely not. And as a team owner might want him in that car, sponsors are the ones that do the talking. They're the ones that put the pen to the paper and decide what you can and can't do. And I don't see anyone doing that with Larson. Do you think Hendrick Mr. H is really going to sign on another guy that's going to have a hard time getting sponsorship? He already has enough of that problem with Alex Bowman and now with William Byron leading forward. So, I don't. As much as they might want him and as much as they might rumor him, I mean, good luck funding it.
Maybe it's just like a red tail or like one of those red herrings where they just throw them off the scent before they get Bubba. They go, hey, let's piss everybody off. And they go, oh, it's okay. It's kind of like when you fail a test, tell your parents, hey, I got my girlfriend pregnant. And they go, what? And they go, no, I got enough of my test. Oh.
Oh, man. I thought I was going to be pissed off.
I'm not mad at all. I don't think that Larson should be going to Hendrick. But, all right. Who's going where? Who do you think is going to be filling the 43? Give me a couple people you could see going to the 43.
Daniel Suarez, 43, all day.
I think Corey LaJoy would be a good fit there as well.
Good choice, too. Yep.
Or what about the 32? Cup regular or Xfinity driver or someone else coming in?
32? I'm thinking Clint Bowyer. I'm thinking a Cup regular.
You think Clint's going to go down to the 32?
If he gets re-signed with Stuart Haas, put it this way, what does Clint have on his resume? He has no sponsors, hasn't won shit in years. Why would he not go to the 32?
What about the 21 car? Do you think DiBenedetto is going to get replaced by Cindric?
No, I don't think he will.
And the 48?
This is tough, man. LaJoy, I'm looking at him. He's like a 2 or 3. Wallace is obviously the big front runner in my book. People can say Larson, Larson, Larson all fucking day, but I'm saying sponsor, sponsor, sponsor. So I don't know, but I like Bubba Wallace. I like Corey LaJoy. That's really all I got for so far.
So with Bubba, I think that the main thing he has to make sure he doesn't do is become Danica Patrick, where you're bringing $30 million a year in sponsorships and then sucking. So what? And I don't think he will. I don't think he's going to become the next Danica Patrick. But if he does, that's somebody you can look at and say, I'm not going to go that route. Because she had GoDaddy, like so much money going into her. So Ryan Preece has also not been re-signed for this next year. Do you think he's going to get replaced? Or do you think they're going to give him another year? Because he's running pretty fucking bad.
With Ryan Preece, I really don't know with him. I don't know that Eric Jones will stoop down that low. Because we haven't talked about him at all. I mean, Eric Jones has to go somewhere. And the number one thing I get criticized for when I say Eric Jones sucks is, well, look at Joey Logano. I'm like, look, I get it. So does that automatically guarantee or warrant that he goes to a top-tier ride? I don't know, because people say Eric Jones to Joey Logano. I say Eric Jones to Daniel Suarez. Suarez didn't do shit in top tier equipment. Why the fuck does, how is Erik Jones all of a sudden going to do great if he goes to a Penske or Hendrick? I don't know. Ryan Preece has done awful. You're absolutely right. He is fucking awful.
Look at the 47. The 47 car is outrunning him every single week.
Stenhouse is doing great, and which I never thought I'd say that. I mean, it's crazy to me how good Stenhouse is doing and how clean the car has been. You know, if I was Brad Doherty, man, I'd be freaking sweating bullets in the studio just watching, just every time Ricky gets the engine fired up, I'm like, oh my God, how many thousands upon thousands of dollars am I going to lose this week? Like, Jesus fuck. But he's done pretty good.
But with Erik Jones, I in terms of Erik Jones to Joey Logano comparisons, I think Daniel Suarez, like you said, is a better Joey Logano reference because, I mean, they just underperformed, especially back then. It was huge. JGR was even better than they are today, in my opinion. But going on, oh my God. We totally left off the 42. Like, do you think Bubba's still going to go to the 42?
It's a possibility. The sponsorship's already there with McDonald's. But I don't know. Let's not forget Ross Chastain. He was the front runner 3 months ago. So I don't know. I wouldn't hold him out. You know, unless Colic signs Chastain for another year, which I don't think is going to happen. Spire also loves Chastain and Justin Haley. So, I don't know, man. It's an option. It's on the table, but I'm not going to say it's a done deal.
I think Bubba has the potential to go to 42, but I don't know if he's going to go to the 42 anymore, especially after Chip rescinded the offer. Now, that does not mean he cannot renegotiate, but you got a lot of play. You have a lot of players in place. You have, I think, over about 14 drivers you could fill that seat. But especially now, what's going on, your Germain Racing sale, Ty Dillon's out of a ride. And Ty Dillon was on XM saying, I'm a Cup driver. I'm not going below Cup. Just kind of like the way that DiBenedetto said it last year. He doesn't want to go down to Xfinity. He's a Cup driver. Because you look at the people that went down to Xfinity, like Daniel Hemric. Oh my God, he is terrible in that number 8 car when he's in there. Jeb Burton is outrunning him. Hell, Junior's outrunning him in the same fucking car. And he's only won one race. Or he's only run one race. And everybody says, oh, easy pick. He'll just move over. He'll get a charter and move over to RCR as a third car. RCR doesn't have that kind of money. There's a new sponsor on Tyler Reddick's car every single race for the most part. I mean, Cat is a majority of them. But other than that, it's like a new main sponsor. And then Cat's kind of like trailing behind him. I just don't know what's going to happen with it. But yeah, I think that Ryan Preece should get replaced. Now, will he? I have no idea. I think that he had a really good run in the Xfinity Series with Joe Gibbs for those little time period, but obviously it was a fluke. He's either wrecking or finishing 30th. And even at his beloved New Hampshire, he can't get it done. And it's not the equipment. Brad Doherty and Tad Giffinger, whatever his name is, JTG. Yeah, that's his last name. Him and his wife, it's just they have better equipment than that. Ricky Stenhouse is showing it to him. It's just a matter of how bad they want it. And in terms of Spire, I think Nutrien Ag should move up and sponsor Ross in the Cup Series because they're going to have I think they're going to get an affiliation. I think they're going to be not a contender, but more of a contender than Rick Ware and Premium Motorsports and all that. I don't think they like running in the very back. But I mean, that's my opinion on Silly Season. I don't think Clint Boyer is going to stoop down to the 32 either. But we've seen crazier thing happen, and well, I think that there's going to be a definite Ford driver in there. I don't think that Erik Jones is going to go down there. I think it's going to be a Ford driver, like Austin Cindric, like in a developmental program, because they kind of have a loose affiliation with Stuart Haas. So I could see, or even like a Chase Briscoe in there. But do you think Chase is going to replace Boyer real quick?
Yeah. The only thing holding me back is it's easier to say Briscoe is going to move up than it is saying, where's Boyer going to go? Because I can tell you, yeah, Briscoe needs to move up, but I can't tell you where's Clint going to go. I don't know. As much as I think he's going to leave, I can't fathom where he's going to go. So that's kind of the dilemma I have right now.
Moving on, we got Bristol, baby! And I hope Dale Jr. decides to cuss on the broadcast like he did after he won and got some in trouble with the broadcasting partners after he won back in like 2003, 2004. What do we have to look out for at Bristol this week? I know they have the PJ one, same one as the All-Star race, but in your mind, what do we have to look out for Bristol?
This is a cutoff race. This is the time to shine for two drivers that we've already talked about. Ryan Blaney, Matt DiBenedetto, they have to show up. My head cannot fucking wrap around thinking about Ryan Blaney not being in the round of 12. Like, what the fuck? Every single person that I could think of, analyst, broadcaster, me and you for sure, earlier in the season would have had him in the round of 8 at least. I don't know about round of 4, maybe. But at least the round of 8. This motherfucker's not even going to transfer in to the round of 12. So that... But damn, we're night racing, baby. Anything can happen at night. And we got the PJ1. It should be... I want an even race now. I want an even bottom line, even top line. It's going to be a fun race.
Do you think we're going to have a surprise winner, somebody else at the playoffs? Kind of like the way that Matt DiBenedetto... Now, last year was not a playoff race, but Matt DiBenedetto stole the show before Denny Hamlin apologized out the window while he was driving past Matty D.
No, it's going to be a playoff driver. This is not the track where a non-playoff guy is going to come in and just run the show. If anybody, it might be Jimmy. If it's going to happen, it's going to be Jimmy. But I know. It's going to be the playoff guys in the playoffs for a reason. And that's because they'd run up front.
If you haven't won in 28 races, why do we think all of a sudden you're going to win on the 29th try? Yeah, all year you've had an opportunity. And all of a sudden, Bristol, you're going to go out of your way. I think that something to kind of look at is the rivalries we've kind of built up over the season. I can't even think of them all, but I remember last time we were at Bristol for a points being race, it was Chase going into the wall, running up into Logano. So that's something to think about. And then the way that Matty D underperformed at Bristol earlier this year compared to his second place run, which almost got him his first ever win for LFR back then, right after he almost got fired. So I think what they should do if DiBenedetto needs to win is they should tell him that he's fired before the race, and then he might win the race. Because he races better when he knows he doesn't have food on the table for next year. So I think this Bristol one, I hope it is not overhyped like the rest of the tracks. Because every time they're overhyped, they like underperform 1,000%. Like Darlington, everybody's like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Or like the All-Star race where they go, this is going to be crazy. 15 laps for a million. And then Chase just kind of won it all. So it's the favorite. This is my second favorite part of the show nowadays, the Bristol picks. I am king of the picks these days, as of recently, so I get to go first.
Who you got?
I love that question. Who you got? I got Brett Moffitt and Johnny Sauter as my dark horse. If no F-bombs means he's winning the fucking race, I'd love to see Johnny Sauter come out there and win.
No, you wouldn't.
For you, yeah. Well, I don't like Johnny Sauter, but I would like to see him, not be yelling F-U at everybody. It's funny to watch everybody fail, but I think he's just due time. Like he's too good or too much of a veteran to like not do well. But who do you have for the truck series?
For the trucks, I got the handsome Zane Smith. If it's not you pick him, it's me. Or vice versa. We're always going to have Zane picked. Easy one there. And then I'm going to regret this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway for good old nostalgia. I got Stuart Friesen. He's had some good runnings there, and this has been the worst season he's pretty much ever had. And it continues to get worse, it seems like, with every race we go to. But he's good here. And I'm hoping that he'll finally get his shit together. And if he get near the front, stay up there. I don't think he's going to win, but maybe a top 3, maybe a top 5. I don't know. Who you got for Xfinity?
I have the car that I just pre-ordered a couple weeks ago, Noah Gragson. I don't think he's running Plan B sales anymore for this race, at least. He's going to repeat. I love the burnout. I love the way he hit the drone when he was doing the burnout. I think it's going to happen. And my dark horse pick, I think Briscoe's going to get the cock out of his mouth and finally decide to show up. I just think this week's the week he decides he's going to come back and win. After the win at Dover, he's going to come back and win the mini version of Dover. Who do you have for Bristol Xfinity?
Chastain. He's the main guy. Chastain is like the Brett Moffitt of the Xfinity series right now. He's up there, but he cannot seal the deal. So I think Bristol, he can shake off the cobwebs and, you know, actually put together a good finish. I know he can run good there, but can he get a win? And he's been so close. And he's angry, man. He's angry about Denny Hamlin wrecking him. He's angry that he cost himself by just – he got getting too loose at Richmond. This guy is running angry. He's pissed. He's frustrated. He's coming so close, but he can't do it. Give me Chastain. And on top of that, Austin Cindric. We haven't seen shit out of him. I really don't know he's actually going to be that good at Bristol. But I don't think we've seen the last of him. I think he went – I predicted a cold spell, but I think maybe he's maybe going to come around again and start running some good races and actually act like he wants to be in the Cup Series or get a championship in an Xfinity Series. So who you got for Cup?
I have a nostalgic pick. I have Matt DiBenedetto. I think, like I said earlier, I think if it's going to be one of them, DiBenedetto or Blaney making it out of the round of 16, I think it'd be DiBenedetto. Because as much as they're a satellite team, they're still the Wood Brothers. I think they're going to put some special charm on there. They're gonna tell Matt he's fired right for the race. Rumors, oh my God, Austin just replacing you. And he will pass Denny Hamlin with six laps to go because Denny Hamlin will be held up by Ryan Newman and his guaranteed 15th place rate, fuck you, card. Also, did you know Jack Roush went out there and said that some drivers shouldn't be out there running? They don't deserve to be running. Do you want to guess where his drivers finished last week at Richmond?
God, what was Newman like 25th?
Is 23rd and 24th respectively. Newman
respectively.
And he is going out there saying they shouldn't be out. There are some drivers out there that don't deserve to be on the track, and his drivers consistently finishing outside the top 20. What has Roush become from the five car team we used to see dominating to now just two cars that can barely even be better than Gaunt Brothers at times, or even like they're the same level as Go Fast Racing and they build the fucking engines? That's like Hendrick being outperformed by a Hendrick affiliate. Like, you don't do that. Like, LFR is not fucking beating Joe Gibbs. Like, no, unless something happens. So it brings me to my dark horse pick. I want some nostalgia. Like I said, I want the good old days to be back. And I want Eric Jones to really win. I really want Eric Jones to win this year.
Why?
Because I don't like Eric Jones, but I like whenever someone gets fired and they come back and win to really make like Joe Gibbs' his little mind think, should have I fired him? And I would say, I don't think they should have fired him. I think that Christopher Bell should have went somewhere else. He still needs to put in some time. Christopher Bell's not lighting the world on fire in LFR. Frankly, he's not even that good compared to Matt DiBenedetto last year. So I don't even know what the fuck they're doing. But to round it all out, who do you have for the Cup Series?
Eric Jones, dumb pick. Ooh. But moving on. Speaking of guys that need to drive as if they might be fired, Clint Bowyer, he's had some really good finishes. This is one of the few tracks where he's really, really good at. So I think the fire is kind of lit under his ass. He had a good running at Richmond and did fairly okay at Darlington. He's not out. I mean, look, he's as far as we're concerned, he's transferring into the round of 12 so far. So if he can have a good race, which I think he will at Bristol, I mean, he'd go out there and fucking win the damn thing. Then it's like, well, is Clint going to go somewhere? Or is he really actually going to stay? Watch out for him. And then Brad Keselowski. Look, I don't like the pick either. I get it. It's not a dumb pick, but it's a hateful pick.
Boo.
So I hope he brings the American flag this time if he does win and not be such a disrespectful asshole.
That brings us – hey, what were we going to say?
I was going to say watch out for Brad, man. He's in the Phoenix state of mind. Not the New York state of mind. He's in the Phoenix state of mind.
Well, you and I both know he's not going to win the championship at Phoenix. If he does get to Phoenix, he'll pull Denny Hamlin and him and his fucking – fat ass crew chief Jeremy Bullens is going to literally stick the biggest Big Rap rapper or the Big Mac rapper on the front and then have to come down for the pit, just like his boy Dickie Hanlon did. And my favorite part of this podcast is now the newest segment, the NASCAR Cuck Series Driver of the Week, presented by King Cuck himself, Dickie Hanlon Racing, his little fantasy racing team he decided to make on NASCAR Heat 5, and apparently he's going to go Cup Series racing. And this was voted on by an independent panel. JP, who is it? Drum roll, hold on.
It is Brad Keselowski. That's who is the cuck of the week.
What did he do?
Well, it's if he forgot the American flag, which is one thing after winning a race. But Noah, what was the anniversary of this past weekend?
9/11.
And the dude won the race. He predicted he was going to win the race. Didn't bring the American flag to celebrate. What a fucking cuck.
You know, horses can't kneel. So think on that. I just don't know. I forgot it. Also, he's a cuck for not letting Jimmy, Bubba, Chase, Blaney, DiBenedetto, Suarez win the race, or even letting LaJoy pass him. LaJoy didn't have the Trump car this weekend, so I think they would have actually – they actually did put him on TV a little bit. But, yes, yay, NASCAR Cuck Series Driver of the Week, Brad Keselowski. And that is it again. Everyone, I appreciate the listens. I appreciate the follows. Thank you for listening. We've got the haulers packed up almost. I mean, this is kind of like the – we kind of got a little blue balls – you know, getting revved up this early before we go out to Bristol. Excited about Bristol. Love the night race. 30,000 fans, and they're actually – most of them be wearing masks. I've been to a NASCAR race. They actually do that. Unlike Florida State football, where everybody just kind of huddles up and makes out in a giant circle jerk. But do you have any final takes, JP? Do you have anything to piss anybody off before we get off?
Yeah, tell all your friends about the podcast because we need these fucking ratings to grow, and you guys are not helping. So do your fucking job.
Wow. All right. Just go right after the fans. And I have to say, as always, JP, say goodbye to your fans that you just decided to cuss out.
Goodbye.
Have a great day.